let's move on to the rest of our regular agenda, then we'll at the end go back to our passed up items. 362.
362, strengthen regulations for tree preservation in development situations.
Okay, Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I move to suspend the rules. While we have a new voting order, Mayor, I think in this instance, since we have two co-sponsors who have done the lion's share of the work, I would ask we suspend the rules and give the sponsors the opportunity to make finish the first vote and comment.
Of course. I'm happy to grant that request. Okay. Rules are suspended for that purpose. So let's take a vote, please, in that order. Sponsors first.
Ritz. Okay. I thought there were no further surprises on this ordinance. So that's really, thank you. And I'm very relieved to be finally in the point of voting. We had our first hearing on this stopgap measure on March 3rd. So this is a not-so-quick fix to a problem that needs a long-term solution. It's important to note that this proposal has a significant impact only on trees greater than 36 inches, which is a very small percentage of trees on private property in Portland. And I appreciate the testimony from the Urban Forestry Commission and the Audubon Society that indeed we're not going to have many more of those large trees unless we find better ways to protect them as well as provide mitigation. I would urge everybody to read Jim Labby, retiring from Audubon, his article in Street Roots a couple of weeks ago about the myths of the tree code and the tree project, which did indeed detail that there are many successes of the code. And again, I'm going to thank many of the staff who were involved in it. We did carve out the exemption for affordable housing and potentially at the expense of large trees, and that is a policy choice that the council has made. There are many issues involving the tree code that need to be addressed sooner rather than later. And once again, I ask the mayor and council to prioritize staff time in your bureaus to address these issues in the next fiscal year with the money coming from money within the urban forestry funds. And so I also want to thank the many folks who were involved in this project from the beginning. Well, not quite from the beginning, because it began back in 2007, and I acknowledge all of the community members who pushed for it, but in particular, Mike Hayakawa of the Bureau of Development Services, who was the project manager for implementation, who did absolutely wonderful work before his retirement, and I greatly appreciate all of his service to the city. I think he may be the only city employee who is twice a winner of the Spirit of Portland Award. Also, Mika Keenan, Patty Howard, and Tom Bezot on my staff, Pooja Bhatt and Tim Crail, who picked up where Patty and Tom, who have both now retired, also left off. The Tree Oversight Advisory Committee, the Urban Forestry Commission, the Planning and Sustainability Commission, Development Review Advisory Committee, Emily Sandy, Jill Grenda, and Rebecca Esau in the Bureau of Development Services, Jen Cairo, the city forester, and her team in Portland Parks and Recreation, and everybody who's worked so hard on this so-called stopgap measure, but on the whole realm of how do we value the many different things that make Portland special. Thank you to all of my colleagues for working on this. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, let me start by thanking all the staff that worked on this project, my colleagues and Commissioner Fritz, who I was happy to partner with on this stopgap measure to protect significant trees in development situations. I want to thank my colleagues again for supporting my amendment to lower the threshold from 50 inches in diameter to 36 inches in diameter for trees that will require an inch-by-inch mitigation fee. After seeing the cardboard diameters of those trees at the recent hearing we had, I was convinced that we need to act to preserve 36-inch tree or larger to the maximum extent possible, or to capture the funds necessary to make sure that replantings will occur to mitigate the loss of these trees. I also wanted to take this opportunity to flag something we heard in testimony, and that was to make sure that approved planting and tree mitigation and tree retention plans are actually implemented correctly. That's a huge issue. I mean, it's one thing to require the plan, it's another thing to make sure it's being implemented. And I share that concern, and I'm concerned that many of the building inspectors in the Bureau of Development Services are focused on structure and state building codes and may not be as vigilant when it comes to the tree planting requirements. And to this end, I have mandated Title 11 training for all BDS building inspectors and managers, and knowing that this is a priority. So thanks again to everybody, and please to vote aye.
Yes.
I'm pleased that the two sponsors spoke first because they've said everything needs to be said. So I'm just going to do my thank yous. Thanks to Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman for taking the lead on this. Thanks to whoever sent me on my Facebook one of my favorite cartoons, and I think it's poignant on a day like today. It matches up great cities with great iconic structures. And on Paris, it's the Eiffel Tower. In New York City, it's the Statue of Liberty. Seattle, it's the Space Needle. And in Portland, it's a tree. And we have a special relationship with trees in this city and a reverence for trees. And a lot of work has been done for a long time in protecting and expanding our tree canopy. And today's stopgap measure is another step in that direction. I want to thank everyone who's already been identified, and including the folks on my team, starting with Hannah Kuhn and the wonderful folks at the Bureau of Environmental Services who worked so hard on this. And I'm pleased to support my colleagues today. Aye.
Novick?
I am going to cast something of a process protest vote. When the Planning and Sustainability Commission voted on this issue, they noted that the PSC found it challenging to be presented with two different proposals from two bureaus. It was also challenging to be asked to make a recommendation absent a full policy discussion and vetting of the proposals with stakeholders and the public. When this first came to council, it was presented as a stopgap measure to protect trees of 50 inches or more, which everybody soon agreed these are really big trees worthy of protection, and it's not going to have an impact on housing availability. We all, of course, can change our minds on the basis of citizen testimony, but it worries me a bit when one of the sponsors of a proposal offers an amendment on the fly in response to testimony, because normally I would expect that we don't get surprising testimony. We've sort of gone through things in advance. So when the amendment was proposed to reduce the inch-per-inch mitigation requirement to 36 inches, based on the information that was in front of me at the time, I voted for the amendment, but reserved my right to change my mind based on what we heard afterwards. What we heard, we heard from Habitat for Humanity, that would affect some projects of theirs. That's been addressed by the affordability amendment. We also heard from the home builders that this was a really big deal and could affect the availability of housing. I don't know if that's true. I don't feel like I've had the time to work through what has now suddenly become a controversial proposal. And my instinct, actually, is that if we're going to move to a different level, I'd be interested in exploring the possibility of adding some nuance. Preserving trees is good for the environment. Adding density is also good for the environment. So I could see adopting a proposal where you require inch-for-inch mitigation for trees over 30 inches if somebody's cutting them down to build a mansion, but you don't require that if you are building three units in the same size lot, even if those units don't quite meet the definition of affordability. I think that $350,000 houses or row houses are more valuable to the community than $1 billion house. I was also very interested in the discussion of the fact that we have different levels of tree canopy in different parts of the city. That in East Portland, there's hardly any really big trees. So that made me think that maybe if we were going to dig into this, we would say that we have stronger protections for trees that aren't quite 50 inches in East Portland, and apply a different standard when we're talking about areas that have strong tree canopy. So in light of all that, knowing obviously this is going to pass anyway, I'm going to cast a no vote, not because I necessarily disagree with the policy, but I don't think that it's been fully explored and we've had the chance to look for nuance. Nay.
Mayor, may I suspend the rules again? I appreciate Commissioner Fish was intending to be gracious in allowing me to speak first. I actually relish speaking last, and it's my favorite quarter of the year when I get to speak last. Not because I intend to rebut what Commissioner Novick just said. We can have a discussion about that. But mostly because when my colleagues have made their statements, I remember something that I should have said. And so the big omission that I made in my list of people to thank was directors Mike Abate and Paul Scarlett, who worked together extremely well in directing their staff on the nuances of how to implement the tree code. And just to mention that those two directors and are looking forward to working with Susan Anderson, the Director of Planning and Sustainability, in the next project, which has a minor answer to Commissioner Novick, yes, and we'll do that in the next session. Thank you.
Hales.
Good resolution to a knotty problem. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.